The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 6, Text Number 22. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on December 20th, 2014, in Hare Krishna Valley, Australia.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Sakrit
yat
darshitam rupam etat kamaya te anaga mat kama shanakai sadhu sarvan munchati Hrishayan Sakridyadarshitam Rupam Sakridyadarshitam Rupam Etat Kamayate Naga Etat Kamayate Naga Matkama Shanakai Sadhu Matkama Shanakai Sadhu Sarvan Munjati Hrishayan Sarvan Munjati Hrishayan. Try one more time and get on. Sakrit yad darshitam rupam.
Etat kamayate naga. Matkama sanakai sadhu.
Matkama sanakai sadhu.
Sarvam munchati hrichayan.
Sarvam munchati hrichayan.
Yadarshitam rupam
Sakrit yadarshitam rupam
Etat kamayate nagah
Etat kamayate nagah
Mat kama sanakai sadhu
Mat kama sanakai sadhu
Sarvan munchati hrichayan
Sarvan munchati hrichayan.
Sakrit once only, yet that darshitam shown rupam form etat this is kamaya for hankerings te your anaka O virtuous one. Mat, mine, kama, desire, shanakai, by increasing, sadhu, devotee, sarvan, all, munchati, gives away, richayan, material desires. O virtuous one, you have only seen once my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me, because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. Purport. A living being cannot be vacant of desires. He is not a dead stone. He must be working, thinking, feeling, and willing. But when he thinks and wills materially, he becomes entangled. And conversely, when he thinks, feels, and wills for the service of the Lord, he becomes gradually freed from all entanglement. The more a person is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires a hankering for it. That is the transcendental nature of godly service. Material service has satiation, whereas spiritual service of the Lord has neither satiation nor end. One can go on increasing his hankerings for the loving, transcendental service of the Lord, and yet he will not find satiation or end. By intense service of the Lord, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in his service, because his service and his person are identical. The sincere devotee should go on with sincere service of the Lord. The Lord will give proper direction as to how and to where it has to be done. There was no material desire in Narada, and yet just to increase his intense desire for the Lord, he was so advised. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Shri Rajatam Sahagana Raganutan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Sha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yajeshatarine. So, it is not possible for the living entity to become inactive. The Mayavadi philosophers, they want to stop all activity. But even if they're sitting and meditating, they're still breathing. And with every breath, they're killing so many microbial germs. So your karma goes on. As long as even trying to be inactive, you can't really be inactive. It's not possible. But if one can act transcendentally, then he becomes liberated. The souls in the spiritual world are very, very active. They're doing so many things. They're hearing, they're speaking, they're going here, going there. So many things they're doing. So spiritual perfection does not mean to become inactive. Spiritual perfection means to become very, very active in Krishna's service. Just see how active was Srila Prabhupada, circling the globe so many times, very, very active. So this is our Krishna consciousness movement, to always be moving, you see, never to become stationary. Moving forward in Krishna consciousness. Every day, how can I advance myself more in Krishna consciousness? How can I develop more taste for the name? How can I develop more taste for hearing? How can I develop more taste for serving? How can I develop more of a humble learning mood? Sometimes as neophyte devotees, we're not in a humble learning mood. If someone corrects us, we become defensive. What do you mean? You see? Our false ego gets in the way, you see. But that's nothing but misery. The more you hold on to this false sense, I am great, the more you become miserable. The more you can let go of it, develop a humble learning mood, the more you can be, the more you become happy in Krishna consciousness. The devotee is correctable, is he? He's always willing to be corrected because he knows he's a rascal, fool, number one. I came to this material world out of a stupid desire to imitate the Lord, and that consciousness has not yet left me. You see, I'm still polluted by that consciousness, wanting to be the Lord. So if a devotee corrects me, oh, you're not doing this correctly. This is how it should be. Why are you doing it like this? That's not correct. I shouldn't be defensive. I should be grateful. Oh, thank you very much. You're helping me to become purified, freed of my false sense of greatness. So this is a very important thing, to always have this humble learning mood. That will make us strong in Krishna consciousness. Even in the Bible, the same thing is confirmed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That person is always willing to learn, you see. If I think I know everything, then I can't grow anymore. I can't grow spiritually. So the more I understand that I need to learn, I need to learn, I need to learn, that's the person who will become very, very advanced very quickly in Krishna consciousness. The person who always has that learning mood. Please instruct me. See, that's the Arjuna, you see. Karpanya dosho pahata shabhava pashamitvang dharma samudda cheta yat shrayan sannishchitan bruhi nanme shashashtehang shadimang dvang pramanam. Now I am confused about my duty. I've lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. You see the mood? We have to learn from Arjuna to be in that humble mood. Please instruct me. Please instruct me. Are we greater than Arjuna? We don't require to be instructed? Oh, I'm greater than Arjuna. No. Arjuna is millions of times greater than we are, but he's saying, please instruct me. But that was Krishna, one might say. If I was with Krishna, I would say, please instruct me. But, you know, with a devotee, that's different. Now, wait a minute. That's not what Krishna says. Krishna says, if you want to be my devotee, ye me bhakta jana parata na me bhakta shtete jana mad bhakta namchi ye bhaktaste me bhakta tamamata. If you want to be my devotee, you have to become the devotee of my devotee. He says, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? You want to be devotee of Krishna?
Yes.
Then you must become the devotee of the devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna will never accept you. Never. He wants to see how much you are devoted to his devotees. He wants you to have a spiritual master that you fully surrender to. He wants you to be a part of a loving part of the spiritual family, taking instructions from devotees, learning how to become more humble, how to become more expert in one's service. Always in that mood of learning and growing, understanding I'm imperfect. If someone corrects me, they're helping me to become perfect. I'm grateful to them. This person has shown me a mistake. I'm doing something wrong. This person has shown me how much I'm indebted to that person. How much I must feel grateful to that person. Not, why are you correcting me? Angry at them or something like that. No, grateful. This person is going out of their way to take the time and trouble to instruct me how to advance in Krishna consciousness. This is very, very sublime purport. One really profound point coming out of here is the more a person is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires a hankering for him. Well, someone may say, but I don't really have that much of a taste for devotional service. What's my hope of getting out of the material world? I don't have much of a taste for service. I just want to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. I don't feel so much of a taste for, you know, doing service. Well, the good news is, just do some service. Understand, this is the medicine you need to cure yourself of the material disease. Just step forward and volunteer to do some service. And by doing that, well, it wasn't so bad after all. When I was a kid, my mother asked me to do some service. It was like pulling my teeth out, see? Ah, vacuum the floor. Oh, take out the garbage. Like, ah. At least in growing up in America, that was our culture, you know. Nobody wants to do any service. Only if you get paid money for doing it, you know. If you pay me some money, I'll mow the lawn. You know, it was that kind of a mood. It wasn't a mood of service growing up in American culture. But here now, Prabhupada engaged us in doing service and didn't pay us any money. And we loved it, you see. Because now we're not serving on the material platform for sense gratification, which is a dead-end street. Now we're doing service, which is liberating us from the cycle of birth and death. So one should not see devotional service in some mundane way. One should see here is an opportunity to get out of the cycle of birth and death, to get back to my original constitutional nature as a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, if one has a transcendental vision of what is devotional service, then you can actually relish sweet ecstasy simply by, you know, washing a pot. Could you imagine tasting transcendental bliss by washing a pot? But that's what happens in devotional service. It's mystical. It's transcendental. Any activity done in the service of Krishna is beyond three modes of material nature. So we have to just, you know, have faith in this, and we just have to step forward and do it. And then the result will be there. Our Krishna consciousness will become awakened, will become liberated from all the sufferings of material existence. If there's any questions, they can be passed forward now. Okay, here we go. 4:1. For one is receiving the correction, the humble mood is required. What should be the mood of the one who is giving the correction? Actually, the only person who's really qualified to give correction is the one who knows how to take correction. If someone is not able to take correction, they're not qualified to give correction. The one who is qualified to give correction has to be the most humble. So, the more you become humble to take corrections, you become more qualified to give corrections. In other words, one who is expert, he's qualified to give corrections. You have to know what's right and what's wrong, and you have to have the humble mood also. But that doesn't mean that it's like, can you please, we shouldn't judge, oh, they're not correcting me in a humble way. Can you please kindly, you know, wash that pot. Someone says, wash the pot. You say, well, you're not instructing me in a humble way. No, that's not like that. The instruction may come. you shouldn't judge. Well, they're instructing me in a humble way, therefore it's not bona fide. The instruction has to be given. Sometimes instruction is like a cutting blade, cutting through our anarthas. The instruction may be given in a very sharp way. It is like a sharp knife cutting through our false pride and our illusion. So don't try to judge the person who's giving you the correction. That's not the proper mood. Prabhupada can be very heavy in giving instructions. Even seemingly very angry also. But actually, that was his teaching method. So it's not that we should judge the person who's giving the correction. We should see how I can properly take the correction. That's the proper mood. Can you please explain how to develop the quality of compassion? What are the different schools of thought, of Vaishnava schools of thought? Why the difference? Well, that's another question. Compassion means to feel sad to see other people are suffering. A demon, he will take pleasure in seeing the sufferings of others. It's like one godbrother, he told me, his parents were materialists. They were sitting out in the backyard on Long Island, suburbs of New York City, sipping martinis. And his mother said to the husband, "I wonder how the poor people are doing today." Yeah. You see, that's a mood of like, they call it snotty, a puffed up mood. Yes, we're enjoying poor people, yeah. But we're situated very comfortably. Now that's not the mood of compassion means to feel very sorry. Oh, these people are suffering. How horrible that is. Something must be done to help the people from the suffering. Lord Chaitanya is an ocean of compassion, so one should feel sorry to see the suffering of others and want to do something about it. That's why we preach Krishna consciousness, you see. A preacher means someone who has compassion. He doesn't want to see people in suffering. He can look out, he can see the faces, how people are covered by the modes of nature. And he wants to do something to pull them out of the modes of nature, to bring them to the transcendental platform. So how to develop the mood of compassion, the quality? Just act compassionately. Even if you don't feel any compassion, follow, because the Prabhupada feels compassion. Just act dutifully under Prabhupada's instruction to spread Krishna consciousness to others. In that way, even though you may not feel it yet, you're actually acting on the sake of compassion, because you're acting in Prabhupada's compassion. If you act as a servant of Srila Prabhupada to give Krishna to others, then that is a compassionate act, even if you don't feel it. But by doing that, just like we read in the purport, that by engaging in devotional service, the more you do it, the more you develop a taste for it. So if you act compassionately, when you act in a way that would be an act of compassion, if you don't feel it, the feeling will come. The feelings of compassion will come. So always try to help others become Krishna conscious. And even if you don't feel the compassion, that compassion will naturally awaken within you as you engage more and more in helping other people to become Krishna conscious. Are everybody with me or sleeping back there? Why don't you come forward? Come forward and sit up here close. You have a bad back or something? Please come in. Actually, everyone can move forward. There's no reason to be far so. If you're old and you need to sit on the couch, it's okay. Everyone who's qualified to sit on the floor, come forward. It makes for better hearing and better attention. We come forward together. Yeah, come forward, unless there's some reason to be back there. No, come forward. There's plenty of room. Come right to the front. Yeah, come right to the front. Yeah. It's a big space right here, just for you. If one is eager to learn, they move forward, you see. If one is not eager, they go way, way in the back. Oh, I think I can sleep back here, you see. So, why are there different Vaishnava schools of thought? Actually, there's only one Vaishnava school of thought, and that is surrender to Krishna. Now, if someone, there are pseudo-Vaishnavas who have different viewpoints, but actually, that's true Vaishnavas have one viewpoint, and that is we must fully surrender to Krishna. Those who are not in that mood may claim to be Vaishnavas and have so many different moods, but actually there's only one mood. That is, we have to fully surrender to Krishna. How does a devotee prepare for second initiation? Just follow your initiation vows very seriously. When I went for second initiation with Prabhupada, he simply asked me, he said, you're chanting 16 rounds regularly? That's what he wanted to know. And I said, oh yes, he gave me the thread. So the most important thing is to chant your rounds regularly.
But now, isn't it nowadays that there is a requirement from the temple authorities?
Whatever, then ask your temple authority what they require for a second initiation. Brahman means you should be learned. Because Brahman means you're a teacher. A Brahman is the guru of the human society. It means you must be, you should have some knowledge of the philosophy, being able to preach nicely, learn some verses. These are things a Brahman is expected to do. He's expected to be able to give nice classes. He's a teacher. He's a Brahman. That means a teacher. So you should become learned in the philosophy. You should be clean. Bathe regularly, at least. Brahman bathes three times a day, Prabhupada said, or at least twice a day he bathes. So Brahman means clean also, suchi. does the devotee ask or does the guru offer? So, devotees should be eager to, all the devotees should go for a second initiation as soon as possible. We need Brahmins for puja and also for preaching. All the devotees should go for it for Brahman initiation. Actually, when Prabhupada was here, it was automatic. First initiation after 6 months, Brahman initiation after the second 6 months. It was just a standard thing. Everybody did it. You first initiation, second initiation. Everybody. So I want all the devotees, especially my disciples, I want all of them to become Brahmins as soon as possible. Why Krishna has made the material energy very powerful? Actually, you have made it powerful. Prabhupada told us, told one hippie actually, he came to our lecture in New Vrindavan, Prabhupada giving the lecture. He said, the hippie said, if our purpose is to go back to Godhead, why is Maya so strong? Prabhupada said, because your purpose is not strong. So actually, Maya is, you have made Maya strong by your, because your determination to go back to Godhead is weak, you see. But actually, Maya will facilitate your going back to Godhead when she sees that your desire to go back to Godhead is strong. Maya will back off and help you advance in Krishna consciousness. If you're not strong in your desire, then Maya will be strong. You have made Maya strong by your lack of determination. That's the answer. How do we know that Krishna is reciprocating with all living beings, including non-devotees? Because he says so, that's how, now you know. Yeyata mang prapadyante tang shtataya bhajam yaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So everybody gets reciprocation. Actually, Krishna's desire is that all living entities should come back to him as soon as possible. So every situation that's happening to every single living entity at every minute is actually for that purpose. Every situation is simply to help that living entity come back to Krishna as soon as possible. If a person is not surrendered to Guru, but chanting the names of Krishna with love, will still the potency of Krishna enrich him and save him. What does love mean? Does love simply mean a sentiment, or does love mean obedience and service? I tell my wife, you know, I really love you. And she says, you know, I'm really sick tonight. Can you do the dishes? No, I'm going bowling with the guys tonight. You wash the dishes. But I really love you. You see? That's, love means service. You're willing to serve someone and help them. That's true love, you see. So, how you can say that you love Krishna if you don't obey Krishna? Krishna says that you have to have a spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam ganinas tatvadarshinaha. Krishna says you have to have a spiritual master. It's right there in the Mundaka Upanishad also. Tadviganartam sagarum eva bhagatschad. That is the virilin form of the verb. There's the verb go, you know, gachit, gachati, gachanti, gachchet. The gachchet is the vidilin form. Gachati, he goes. Gachanti, they go. Gachchet must go. So Krishna, the Vedic wisdom says you must go to the spiritual master if you want to realize that truth, that transcendental knowledge. You must go to the spiritual master. It's compulsory. You say, well, but not for me, I'm an exception. No, you're a rascal. If you think you can disobey the Vedic injunctions and realize God, you're swimming in ignorance. You'll never do it. If you want to realize God, you have to follow the Vedic injunctions. Are the Hare Krishna devotees always in a transcendental situation, even in the material world, in their daily activities? If you're actually a Hare Krishna devotee, you're always transcendentally situated. Hare Krishna devotee means one who's devoted to Krishna. He's always serving Krishna with his thoughts, words, and deeds. What if I'm supposed to be a Hare Krishna devotee, but I'm not always a Hare Krishna devotee? That's another thing. But Hare Krishna devotee means one who is devoted to Krishna. So one who is devoted to Krishna, he only does for Krishna. He only thinks for Krishna. He only speaks for Krishna. He only acts for Krishna. He has no interest except Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he's always transcendentally situated. While listening the lecture yesterday, I heard that Krishna got Ashtashakis to serve. Why he doesn't have any sakha to serve in the spiritual world? There's so many cowherd boys. There's sakis and sakha. There's so many cowherd boys who are serving Krishna in the spiritual world. In the Shikshastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, how can the embrace be rough? So, even if Krishna gives me a hard time, he puts me in a difficult situation. Just like Prabhupada on the boat, he had two heart attacks on the boat. That's called a rough embrace. Two heart attacks on the boat. He's simply surrendering to his spiritual master's order. He comes to America. On the way, he almost dies on the boat. Prabhupada said, I thought if a pain comes like that a third time, I will not survive. That's how heavy it was. He almost killed him. That's called a rough embrace, you see. In In the purport, it is said that the Lord will give directions how and where to do devotional service. Can you please explain what it means? He gives instruction through the scripture. He gives instruction through the spiritual master. He gives instruction through the Vaishnavas. And for those who are fully surrendered to the scripture, the spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas, he also gives direct instructions within the heart. So if you want to get to that position where you can get instruction from in the heart, then become completely submissive to the scripture, the guru, and the Vaishnavas. And by that submission to the external manifestations of Krishna, that day will come when you can directly hear Krishna within your heart instructing you. But you have to take the external, fully surrender the external manifestations before you qualify for that special guidance from within. The spiritual master, does the spiritual master find the disciple, or is it the duty of the disciple to find his spiritual master? If you're actually, Prabhupada told those boys in New York, the first boys at 26 Second Avenue, that when you're sincere, then the guru will find you out. Actually, it happened. Two of the boys, who became later on Hayagriva and Kirtanananda, they went to India looking for a guru, and actually they got it. They went on the Jaladuta, if you can imagine. They got a job. They were, you know, got a job in the Jaladuta. They got a free pass to the work in the Jaladuta, and they didn't find any guru because they weren't really ready for it. You see, but they came back to America, and now they're really ready. And then Prabhupada showed up in their neighborhood. So when you're actually really ready for a spiritual master, Krishna will send him to you when you're really ready. So just be very sincere that I must fully surrender to God. I must find the means of how to become fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord. And then Krishna will send the spiritual master to you. After having prasad or mahaprasadam for doing chanting, do we have to wash or clean our hands, mouth, or not? Well, if you just pop some maha in your mouth, then, but if you touch your mouth, you definitely have to wash. If you just pop a little maha in your mouth, then you're still considered clean. But after sitting and taking prasadam, you should definitely wash. But sometimes, you know, you just get a little piece of maha prasadam, you throw it in your, you just toss it in your mouth without touching your mouth, then you're still clean. If your hand touches your mouth, you're dirty, you got to wash your hand. Following blindly is condemned. But for someone who is not yet a devotee, how do you reach a level of belief sufficient to follow him, or meaning Krishna? Well, we have to educate people. What is the science of God? It's very simple. We have all these books. What are they for? To gather dust in the bookshop. You see all these books on, over there. We have, it's a whole elaborate science. Very, very elaborate science. So read these books. Every spare minute, read these books. Hear the lectures. Attend the classes. This is the most sophisticated, advanced science anywhere in the whole universe. So study this science of bhakti. Become highly learned in this science. And then you will act out of knowledge to realize the Supreme Truth. We were going to have questions from the internet, but unfortunately, no connection. Let's give it another try. Not good enough bandwidth out here. They probably all left, even if they were there waiting, because it's too, it just came on. There's five people just holding in, holding on, hoping they'll get.
The list,
Yes, so we're finally. and see if it'll work.
Start meeting. Share better.
Hare Krishna.
So we're trying now. I don't know if you all can hear me out there. And we're out here in the country. We have a bad connection, not a very good bandwidth. If you all can hear me, go ahead and type in the chat window that you can hear me. Let's see. System preferences. Sound. Okay. No, didn't work. It disconnected again. They were on for like 30 seconds and then it disconnected again. Any other questions? Any points you'd like to add, Guru Mataji?
Well, as you mentioned many times about Vaishnavas and all that, but I liked only so my guru, not the other Vaishnavas, and that's one point.
I cannot. You want me to discuss that?
Huh?
You want me to make some further points about that?
If you want to. I'd like to.
Yeah. I remember there was one of my godbrothers, that was his mood. He just wanted to take instructions from Prabhupada and not from anybody else. And Prabhupada told him to earn money and enjoy. He told him to get out of them. He said, give up this Krishna consciousness movement. He was very heavy with them. He said, just go earn. The order was, go earn money and enjoy. That was Prabhupada's order. In other words, get out of this movement. He didn't want to take instructions from anyone. Except for, he was willing to take from Prabhupada, but no one else. Prabhupada didn't like that attitude. Prabhupada was very heavy. And he did it. He obeyed Prabhupada. He left.
Of the Lord Chaitanya, he says, whether you embrace me with in love or in the, what is the translation of Sikshastakam, whether you become present before me, or that can be also seen in other ways, can we understand in the other ways like that? That first we learn to embrace the devotees, and so that we can get the embrace of Krishna.
We approach Krishna through the medium of the devotees.
Yes, but first, embracing means loving the devotees.
Loving then, relationship.
Then we will be getting the embrace from Krishna. Otherwise, it's not that.
Yeah, we have to have loving relationship with devotees. If we see in the material world, everybody is very impersonal and they don't know how to have loving. Everyone's very greedy and impersonal in the material world. So we have to learn how to really, you know, come out of the shell of impersonalism and learn how to give love and also receive love in a grateful way from others. It's a very important thing.
And sometimes devotees find a lot of difficulties with managers because we have our own anarthas within our heart. And by Krishna's grace, the managers are there to be purifying us, but it's very difficult.
The manager means they engage us in service.
Yeah.
That's what management means in ISKCON. The manager engages you in service.
But then we have so many anarthas in our heart.
That we don't want to, we're disinclined to actually be engaged in service, so we find fault with the manager. Why is he trying to engage me in this service? And you find fault with his attitude in his activities to justify not being surrendered.
And then they take shelter of the quote that the spiritual master knows how to engage according to one's capacity, not otherwise, because my talent is this, so I should be engaged only this way, otherwise.
Well, the thing is, that's not surrender. That if you engage me according to my propensity, then I will accept it. If you don't, I won't. So that's not surrender. Surrender means whatever you ask me to do, I'm prepared to do it. It may be my propensity, it may not be my propensity, but I will do it. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do that. That's surrender. Anything else?
Yes,
Any other points? Any other questions? Is it clear to everyone what does it mean to surrender to Krishna? That I must, whatever the needful is, whatever needs to be done, that I will do. Not that, you know, I have my limits, what I will do, what I will not do. That is not surrender.
Then I remember what Bhakti Madhurya Govinda says, that is called initiation, not disciples.
Yeah, that's right. There's an initiate and there's a disciple. There's two things. Every initiate should be a disciple. In other words, an initiate is somebody who's taken the vows, unless he's keeping the vows and actually following the vows, he's not really a disciple. You see, you can't be a disciple. Prabhupada said disciple means discipline. So one who actually follows the instructions of the spiritual master, continues to try to please him with his thoughts, words, and deeds in all times, places, and circumstances, he's a disciple. But otherwise, if you just get initiated and you're not really trying to please your spiritual master, you're an initiate only, you're not a disciple. So every initiate should be a disciple also. Being an initiate will not deliver you from the cycle of birth and death. If you want to become delivered, you have to become a disciple, a true disciple, one who actually disciplines his thoughts, words, and deeds for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna in all times, places, and circumstances. It's a very serious commitment. And that one who soberly makes that commitment and sincerely tries to do that becomes liberated. They become free of all anxieties of material existence. They really do. The material modes of nature can't touch them. They become impervious to the modes. One who merely makes that commitment that I belong to my spiritual master and everything my whole life is for him. My every thought, my every word, my every deed must be for his pleasure. Disciples who don't do that, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita 16:23. The one is not strictly following the Vedic injunctions, which in the three most important Vedic injunctions are take shelter of Guru, get initiated by Guru, and obey the spiritual master. If one is not strictly following Vedic injunctions, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, there's no success in life, there's no happiness, what to speak of going back to home, back to Godhead. So one has to be very dedicated to this principle, strictly following the Vedic injunctions. And that's how you become successful. Somebody who really endeavors sincerely to the best of their ability, they're guaranteed success. They're guaranteed to be able to see Krishna face to face in due course of time and regain their original identity in his pastimes. So you want the results, and they're waiting for you, but you have to qualify yourself by full surrender. If you want to surrender partially, you're not going to get the full result. Krishna can see how much you're surrendering to him, and he rewards you accordingly to your degree of surrender. So you have to decide what degree of reward you would like, and that's how much you have to surrender. If you want to receive the full reward of spiritual perfection. Actually, these children should learn to sit and hear. The young age is the best age for learning. They'll be walking in and out of the room. They're not even hearing. They're missing the whole point. The children are they get the most benefit by sitting and hearing. The trick is you put them in your lap and make them feel loved. So they actually, for them to be walking in and out is not very proper etiquette. They should be sitting and hearing. Okay, so we'll stop here, and then we'll have our next schedule is We have our next program beginning lecture number 10:15. So we'll look forward to seeing you all back here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Is Shriman Shankar Sandas Dikari ki jai.